In the past hour, in Washington, House lawmakers passed the largest economic relief package in U.S. history. They did so even after Republican Thomas Massie of Kentucky tried to stop the vote by calling for what would have been a time-consuming roll call vote that would have required a majority of members to be there in the chamber.
I object on the basis that a quorum is not present and make a point of order that a quorum is not present.
A quorum is present. The motion is adopted.
President Trump is expected to sign the $2.2 trillion measure. It would send most Americans a check for $1,200, extend unemployment insurance, and infuse small and large businesses and hospitals with cash to fight the coronavirus. Joining us is Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Hey, great to be with you.
So that was a pretty dramatic moment. Could you describe how it unfolded and what this all means for Congress and for the country?
Well, just because one single congressman insisted on it, members of Congress had to come in from all around the country, get on planes, ignore travel advisories and other warnings. Some of them were the only people on their planes and at their airports coming into work today to show up to have that quorum present. This was never in doubt, but one member of Congress was able to hold things up, at least temporarily. Now that's done. The bill is headed to President Trump's desk for a signature. It is a $2 trillion package. We have never seen anything like it in the history of this nation, nothing on this scale. Stimulus doesn't even mean to describe it. It truly is propping up the economy at a time that things have ground to a halt.
And he is indeed expected to sign it with exuberance.
Oh, yes. And he's going to take credit for its swift passage. And it's a brief glimmer of bipartisanship in all of this, not just in the consensus around this, but the denunciations of Congressman Massie for holding it up. Members of Congress want this done. They want it done yesterday. They know that their constituents are hurting. They themselves are hurting. Their own ranks have been diminished by positive diagnoses of coronavirus, of COVID-19. Many of them are very eager to get back and just kind of weather this storm for a while, knowing that the American people are going to need more help down the road.
Last night on Fox News with Sean Hannity, President Trump questioned the number of ventilators that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said he needs to fight the coronavirus. The president said, "I don't believe you need 40,000 or 30,000 ventilators." But today, the president said on Twitter that he wants to invoke the Defense Production Act to compel automakers to produce more ventilators for the epidemic, something, as we said, he has resisted until now because he said companies were working on the problem without being forced to do so. What would the Defense Production Act mean in reality for businesses such as General Motors and for states such as New York?
If the president invokes the Defense Production Act, it forces businesses like automakers and others to turn their factory production to essential supplies like ventilators, like surgical masks and the like, anything that the president deems to be essential for national service. He's been criticized widely by Governor Cuomo in New York and many other Democrats and some Republicans even for not earlier invoking defense production. He's been contradicting himself, as you pointed out on Twitter, about the need for this number of ventilators. It seems to be the president's style, though. He's trying to cajole, sometimes publicly bully companies into complying rather than signing up to force them to do so. Many Republicans, including some in the president's own White House, are very hesitant to use this kind of executive power. They'd much rather have the private sector do it on their own. But of course, with this president, that means a whole lot of public shaming along the way.
Now, one other question about politics. This is an election year, after all, and it's been tough for Democratic presidential candidates Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders recently to break through the coronavirus crisis. Sanders has had several online forums, though, and Biden released his coronavirus plan in a speech yesterday. How relevant are their voices and their proposals right now?
It's a difficult time, particularly for Vice President Biden, who doesn't have a public position. Even Senator Sanders has the ability to influence legislation. For Vice President Biden, he's got to balance the fact that he has no formal title, that he has Sanders still in the race, and that the American people are just worried about living and dying right now and are probably not that focused on politics. The Biden team also is just not that well equipped to pick this up from a digital perspective. So the campaign, when it resumes, is not going to look anything like it did before. I think that's fair to say.
Rick Klein of ABC News, you're listening to Here and Now.